Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it happens to be when you're joining us for our online worship service. Thank you for being a part of this. I'll just start out by saying, you know, a lot has been going on in our world over these last couple months and very close to home over these last couple of weeks with the COVID-19 virus and everything that's happening with that. And I just want you to know from the front, first and foremost, that I'm praying for you all, as I'm sure every one of you is praying for one another, praying for our state, our nation, and for our world, and everyone who's being affected by this. I want to just be very clear that if anyone needs to talk, needs some help processing what's going on, needs just some help with getting some groceries or whatever it may be, just as I would say any time throughout the year as part of the great family we have here at FBF, reach out to someone. Reach out to a friend, a brother and sister in Christ. Reach out to myself. Reach out to one of the elders. Let us know how we can be there for you in this time. To that regard, I just want to encourage everyone, if you've not already, to think about the checking up checklist that John sent an email out about earlier in this week, and pray about who God would put on your heart to be checking in on in a more formal, organized way, as we all do a great job already of checking in on each other all the time. So I do want to highlight that. So if you have not already, I just want to highlight a couple things about this online worship service. If you're watching this on Facebook, down in the comment section, you'll see a link to our website. If you're on the website, right beside this video, you should see a PDF, and that has our service bulletin for today. In that, you will find scripture readings, you will find songs, you will find the sermon outline, all the things you would normally find. And I do want to just take a second and thank Tori for having the idea of keeping this normalcy with following our bulletin. You'll also find in there some YouTube links that go to the songs if you want to engage in the songs in that sort of way as well. So make sure you take a look at the bulletin as part of this service and as part of this time of message. And then the other thing I want to make sure to just remind us all of is on Sunday at 2:00, please join us with the Zoom video conference or call in if you aren't able to do it with the internet. An email went out with all the instructions about how to do that. If you have any questions, please reach out to me beforehand. But that will be our way of coming together live and sharing with one another and giving praises to God and praying for one another. So with that in mind, let's move into our message for today. Now, we have just finished our study through the book of Philippians, so this would normally be the time for us to start a study through a new book of the Bible. And I was thinking about that, and I was going back and looking, and we have been through 12 books of the Bible in the time that I have been blessed to be able to stand up here and to preach as part of my role here at FBF. So we only have 54 more to go. We're getting there. And I'm happy to announce that our next Bible book study will be announced after Easter. Now, you knew I had to do that. I always do that. But from today through Easter, we're going to have four messages that all come together to tell the one big message, the one big story, and that is the story of the gospel. Some of you, like myself, might be college basketball fans and look forward to the big tournament that happens every March Madness, and the road to the Final Four and the road to the championship, and maybe disappointed like I was that wasn't going to be taking place this year. Of course, that is but a small thing in the big picture of everything that's going on, but maybe disappointed nonetheless. Well, don't worry. I'm here for you. We're going to be following another road, a road of our own over these next 4 weeks, and that is the road to the resurrection. That's going to be where we're going over these next 4 weeks as we lead up to Easter. And today, as we start at the beginning of that road, perhaps I should say as we start in the beginning, we're going to start where the gospel message itself starts. Our one big idea for today is this: God created and it was good. Pray with me, please. Father God, I thank you for this time right now. Lord, I'm standing here alone in the church right now, preaching to a camera, Lord. But God, I've got my brothers and sisters in my mind and on my heart, Lord. And God, although I am missing seeing them right now, Lord, I am so thankful that we are connected in much deeper ways, Lord, as we lift one another up and think about each other and pray for one another. So I thank you for that. So God, right now I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to me, Lord, through these words that I believe you've given me, and speak through me, Lord, the words that you would have us hear today, Lord. God, I pray that we hear exactly what it is we need to hear, Lord. God, whatever it is we need in these days right now, Lord, that you would just give that to us and fill us up with that, Lord. God, I thank you for your word, which is good. It is very good, Lord. God, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our first truth today is this: sacred rest draws our focus to God's power and provision. We begin our road to the resurrection in Genesis chapter 2. If you've not already, please turn in your Bibles or your Bible app or whatever you may have in front of you and follow along with me. We start Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, where we read this: "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." So chapter 2 here begins with a summary statement that encompasses the grand 6 days of creation that had been given in more detail in Genesis chapter 1. And what we see as we go through Genesis chapter 1 is that the God of peace, the God of order, purposely and systematically creates these spaces and then fills these spaces. We see the created objects of days 4, 5, and 6 filling the created spaces of days 1, 2, and 3. The sky is filled with celestial objects. The sea is filled with fish and water life. The air is filled with birds. The land is filled with livestock, and then ultimately mankind. And we see in all of that the God who fills. And the filling of the Lord is a beautiful reality that we can experience right here, right now. Psalm 33:5 tells us, "The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love." Psalm 81:10 tells us, "I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it." Ephesians 3:17, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Because he is the God who fills, we can proclaim Psalm 72:18, where we read this: "Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory." There are many things that we can be filled with. We can fill ourselves with a selfishness that only desires what we want and to do what we want. We can fill ourselves with things to attempt to numb reality. We can fill ourselves with fear and with anxiety. Or we can fill ourselves with the truth and the grace and the mercy and the compassion and the hope and the peace and the love of our God. So may we live out that which God puts into us as those who have been made right with God through the work of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:18, "Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you hear the joy in that verse that is the byproduct of a holy filling? It is the one that we can experience as we embrace the invitation to receive the ultimate filling that Jesus made in Matthew 10:28, where he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, speaking of rest, our scripture passage this morning speaks of what God did at the completion of his filling. It says that he rested, not because he needed literal rest, but to serve as a model for the rest of us to live into a set apart day, a holy day. And this sacred holy day of rest comes at the end of the week. Think of this day of rest following a week of work. Think of that in the context of Colossians 3:23, where we read, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So as Christ followers, we can approach our work, no matter what it is, whether it's paid or unpaid, whether it's in the marketplace or it's in the home, we can do this work with an approach of being spirit-led in our work. So then a sacred day of rest then becomes a time for us to reflect. First, to reflect on where we might have missed God and some of the opportunities that he gave us to live into that week. But even more so, I believe, this sacred day of rest is a time to celebrate the opportunities that we lived into. As we reflected and as we spoke and as we lived out the truth of God in even the simplest ways. As we lived that out in our own lives and as we lived that out in the lives of others. And it's a time to reflect and to praise God for all of those opportunities. And in that rest, we ask God then to prepare us for the holy week he has prepared and the week that is to come. A set-apart day of sacred rest is such an immense blessing that God gives to us. It is a reminder that sacred rest is vital, and not just one day of week, but with built-in rhythms of rest in the Lord throughout all of our days. This sacred rest is an opportunity to intimately connect with our Creator, to intimately connect with our Savior. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift we're given. I believe now, the times that we are living in at this very moment, perhaps more than ever, what we need right this moment is we need to experience sacred rest, right? And there are plenty of times in our life where we need to just simply experience sacred rest. Psalm 46 has been extremely valuable to me over this past week. I've read it. I've shared it with my coworkers at work during our morning prayer time. I have read it to the boys at night before going to bed. I shared it via email with all of you last Sunday. And just again, hear a portion of Psalm 46. It says this: "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Be still and know that I am God." And then the final verse of the psalm, the reason we can be still, why we can rest in him. Verse 11 tells us, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And the word there translated Almighty, it's also translated the Lord of hosts. That is the same exact word that we saw in our Genesis 2 passage here back in verse 1, where from my translation, it was translated the vast array. It's that same word as host. So we can rest because the Creator is with us and has invited us to experience this rest with him. Now, remember that God rested once the work was complete, right? The work was complete, and then it says God rested. And here is what that spoke to me over the last week as I thought about these verses. Sometimes in order to experience sacred rest, you must cease from doing other things. Last week when all the dominoes kind of started falling and these measures were being taken more and more and put into place in order to protect us against the virus spreading even more, that was happening. And as that was happening, and as that was really starting to kick into high gear, I will admit I found myself being anxious, and I found myself being worried in a sense and to a degree as all of this was happening. As I kept scrolling Facebook and I kept scrolling news outlets and just reading so many different things and hearing so many people's reactions and responses to this. And I could feel my anxiety rising as I did that throughout the day. And then later that night, I was at home and I was sitting at the kitchen table and I was working on this very message. And in the process of doing that, I was just spending so much time in the Word, and I was receiving God's Word, and I was listening to praise music as I like to do. And then what I found out is that when I woke up Friday morning, guess what? I had a completely different outlook. I had experienced sacred rest, and that is what I was then choosing to live into as I went into that day on Friday, a time of sacred rest, and how important that must be. I needed to cease from the constant phone scrolling in order to be able to live into that rest. That is what I had to stop, what I had to cease in that time. And the question it leads me to think about this week is this: what is it that you need to cease from in order to experience God's rest in your life? Do you need to finally forgive someone and to cease holding on to that anger against them? Do you need to let go of a hurt that you've experienced in your life, to cease letting that define you and pull you down, and just in God's strength and in God's power and in God's grace to be able to let go of that and let Him heal you in every way that He wants to be able to heal you in? Do you need to stop running from God, to cease living into a life that is life on your terms alone? Or do you simply just need to take a break from all of the good that you have been doing and simply enjoy a holy nap? That is sacred rest in itself. So today, may we know the rest that comes as we turn all control, as we turn everything over to God, and we simply be still. Our next truth today is this: God is the source of abundant life. We continue with verses 4 through 17. Follow along, please. It says this: "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, let's start here at the heart of this section, down in verse 7, where God formed the man. The Hebrew, the primary language of the Old Testament, gives us a beautiful picture here, as that word that is translated formed has one of its many other uses around another type of creation. Isaiah 64:8, we read this: "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." So in that, we get this beautiful image. We are the loving creation of God. We are handcrafted on the divine potter's wheel. We are wonderfully and uniquely made. But simply beyond the fact that God formed us, as the same can be said about all of the creation that he made, beyond that is the giving of breath. Life is sacred because God breathed his own life into us. Our immense value, our sacred worth came the instant God gave us life. We see this word breathe also in Ezekiel 37:9, the famous Valley of Dry Bones passage, where we read this: "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain that they may live.'" Today, I would encourage us to know afresh and anew the intimate breath of our Lord, breathing life into us, speaking truth over us, filling us with his goodness. There is much we can inhale in this life. We can breathe in lies that are spoken about us. We can breathe in angry darts that are slung at us. We can breathe in worry rising from the circumstances surrounding us. But today, may we choose to breathe in the goodness and love of our God. Now, some dismiss these first two chapters of creation as being contradictory, saying that in chapter one, plants come before man, but here in chapter two, it seems that plants don't come until after man. But the way we can reconcile this is that understanding what is happening here is a very zoomed in focus on this very specific garden here. You see, all the elements were in place. God planted the garden, and the river bubbled up and watered the garden. It was now simply waiting for the cultivator, enter Adam. He was put in the garden to work it, to cultivate it. God placed Adam where he did with intention. He placed him there with purpose. He was to continue the work that had been started by the Lord. And today we are likewise called to live into holy work that has been given to us by God. Ephesians 2:10, we read, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Will God bring the harvest apart from the workers? Are we ready and willing to work where God has put us, to cultivate the harvest of the fields he has prepared around us? Are we ready for what God wants to do in us and what God wants to do through us? And likewise, what he wants to do in our church and what he wants to do through our church. We are placed in a beautiful garden to enjoy the garden and to help others experience the joy. Notice how this garden is described in our passage. The word Eden literally means pleasure. And notice the names of the rivers flowing out. They literally mean increase, bursting forth, rapid fruitfulness. So as we live in the joys of the garden, as we live in the presence of God, as we call others into this garden, we are pointed to another garden. We are pointed to the kingdom of heaven on earth, pointed to the eternal state promised for believers. Considering the gold and precious stones that are mentioned here in this passage, listen to the words of Revelation 21:18, speaking of the New Jerusalem. It says this: the wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold as pure. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. There is an abundance in this original garden, including the tree of life. And as we think about the truth that we are created, formed, crafted by God, as we live into the calling that He puts on our life, may we never forget that this is where abundant life is truly found. Isaiah 44:1 tells us this: "But now listen, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says: He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." Abundant life is found in the Lord. Our final truth today is this: God calls us into community, united and carrying out His work. We conclude with verses 18 through 25 of Genesis chapter 2. It says this: "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.' This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." So the creation account in Genesis 1 has the repeated refrain of God declaring His creation to be good, and in the sense of humanity to be very good. But here, we start this section with God now declaring something not good: the fact that Adam was alone. And this is not God saying, "Oops, I messed up. I left something out of the very good creation." I believe it was done in this way in order to highlight the need we have. The need we have for help. The need we have for relationship, for friendship, for community. God brought this to Adam's attention by bringing all the animals for him to name, which is a whole other amazing thing in and of itself. Picture it. God parades all of these creatures in front of Adam. And this one comes along in front of Adam, and we see it is this large four-legged creation with this flowing mane coming down from it. And Adam looks at it and says, "A horse, a horse." To which God replies, "Of course, of course." Now, I don't have anybody here tonight to laugh at my corny jokes. And I might need some of our older folks to explain that one to some of our younger folks. But among all the animals is no suitable helper for Adam. And I love this term for woman here, helper. Because helper is in no way derogatory, it's in no way demeaning, it is in no way less than, it is not a menial calling, it is not some lessening of woman to man, as some would attempt to say the Bible tries to do. Think about this. The word used here for helper occurs 21 times in the Old Testament. Two of them are right here in this passage. 16 other times, almost every other single use of this word, all refer to the helper being, guess who? To God himself. Perhaps most famously in Psalm 121, I lift my eyes unto the hills, where does my help come from? So being a helper is a grand calling. It is a great calling, a calling we are all to live into. So what was the woman Eve called to help with? Well, it was with the work that had been given to Adam, to rule over the earth and to be fruitful and multiply. Together, they were called into gospel community to carry out the work of God in this world. Even in the command to multiply, to have children, the call there is to create more image bearers of God who themselves will live into the abundance of God's love and themselves will continue to carry out the work of God. We are all called into gospel community. We are called into intimate and deep community that is focused on the joy and the work of the Lord. In these uncertain times that we're living in right now, the uncertain times of COVID-19, when we are called to practice social distancing from one another, may we not distance love. May we not distance compassion. Let's continue to live as community, to check in and to check up on each other. As I mentioned earlier, if you've not already, please contact John Markin regarding our checking up checklist. And as helpers to one another, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we are called together to take part in gospel community, let's remain united in carrying out the mission of God. This is the time for the church universal to shine. The church and Christians worldwide right now have this amazing opportunity in this current world context to unite in expressing the kingdom of God on earth, to unite in sharing that God is the anchor to cling to that so many are looking for in this time and in these days. So I would urge us to remain careful. I would urge us to rely on the wisdom and leading of God in the safety of yourself and your family. But in that, I would also urge us to be on the lookout for where God might use you to bless another in this time. I already love how so many of you are offering to be there for one another, to help get groceries or to pick up items and deliver those to each other. How so many of you are calling and checking on one another. And we can do that with our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers and others that God has placed in our life. The beauty of the gospel in our modern world is that you can tend the garden, if you will. You can carry out God's work right from home. Last week, I came across a random stranger on Facebook. We both just happened to be reading a story or watching a video that was a common uniter for us. And I saw this random stranger, and he had made this comment on Facebook of how he was really struggling with what was going on. And he was feeling really lost in the moment. And God put it on my heart, and I simply replied to his comment. And I said, we don't know each other, but I just want you to know that I'm here. If you want to message me, I'll be more than happy to listen to you. I'll be more than happy to talk to you. But above all things, just know that I am praying for you in this time. And he replied. He responded to me, and he said, thank you. Now, there was no grand gospel conversation that happened, but he knew in that moment that someone cared and that someone was praying for him. And I believe that has great value in carrying out the gospel to this world. Now, Genesis chapter 2 ends with a closing statement as the camera zooms out and sort of fades to credits on that chapter. In this perfect creation, in this perfect union with God, in this perfect harmony with one another, Adam and Eve, it says, were naked and unashamed. And my hope for us is that we may live into such freedom, all right? Not that we're going to run around naked around each other, but this sort of freedom. May our relationships with one another lead us to see the best in each other. May our relationships with one another lead us to quickly forgive each other. May our relationships be such that we can share our inner struggles with one another, trusting as we share that we will find a compassionate shoulder. And today, please know that if you are living in guilt and shame before God because of past sin, it's time to lay that down. If you feel that gnawing at you, it's time to lay that down, to be unashamed. And we do that by asking his forgiveness and knowing that in that moment, God takes it and he gets rid of it. Micah 7:19, you will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. So today, if you're listening to this and you've never asked God to forgive you for your sins, you've never laid that down, and you feel it weighing heavy on you, and you want to do something about that, as God leads you, ask him to forgive you. Trust in the work that Jesus did for you on the cross and in his resurrection to take those sins away, to take the penalty that our sins deserve. Commit to following Jesus with your life and experience that, no longer having to be shamed before God, no longer feeling distanced or separated from God, but knowing that those sins have been wiped away and washed clean. As we come to this week's rest stop on the road to resurrection, I leave us with this passage, Isaiah 45:18. For this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. Pray with me, please. God, I thank you for these words. I thank you for this beautiful passage of Genesis chapter 2, Lord. And God, I just pray for myself. I pray for all that are watching this, listening to this, Lord, that we could know what we need to know from this passage, Lord. God, that we can live into sacred rest, Lord, as we just come before you and we be still, Lord. And that won't just be a once a week thing, but God, it'll be built into every day of our lives, Lord. God, I pray that we will find abundance and joy and provision in the life that you call us to live, Lord. And God, I pray that as you plant us in certain places, as you put us in certain situations, Lord, that we will look for the opportunities you give us, God, to be your hands and your feet, to be your voice, to be your love and your compassion with our neighbors and with the nations. So God, we love you and we thank you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.